Where is Sergei Lavrov? Russia's foreign minister has been uncharacteristically quiet for a couple of weeks. Why has he disappeared from public view? It's widely known that President Vladimir Putin is not happy with Sergei Viktorovich Lavrov. So, Mr. Lavrov, age 75, has been the foreign minister of Russia for 21 years. The longest serving since the Soviet era, Andrei Gromyko. And I can't think of any foreign minister in the world who served for 21 years. So, yes, he's always been a pathological liar. Yes, he's absolutely evil and Machiavellian, but he was effectual in the early days. Even his worst enemy would have to acknowledge that. So, how he could outfox his opponents, how he was adept at building coalitions with whoever, with China, with Arab countries, with Israel, with various African countries, Latin American countries, appealing to nostalgia for communism, appealing to right wingery, appealing to Islamic fundamentalism or to Islamophobia, whatever it was. He was very promiscuous on this one, but it worked. Now, admittedly, when he came to office, his job was a lot easier. The Iraq War had been going for a year, which Russia had opposed. Relations were still cordial between the United States and the Russian Federation. And the United States didn't really have the bandwidth to oppose Russia or anything like that. The contract on Iraq and Afghanistan, the USA was fairly unpopular with European countries. There was this blossoming relationship between Russia and the European Union, and more oil and gas being sold. The Russian economy was on the up and up. Russia was fairly dominant in the former Soviet space. And then there was that, with Ukraine, they had the pro-Moscow minority there cooperating with them. They thought they could, take over through cheating enough in elections that almost succeeded and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, Mr. Lavrov, he is not being seen for quite some time. Now, why? I remember this happened to some generals who were thought to have been complicit in Yevgeny Prigozhin's attempted coup in 2023. But I think this is a little bit different. Well, he has failed because there was meant to be this other summit in Budapest, which didn't go ahead. He had a conversation with his opposite number in the United States, and Putin didn't authorize him to make any concessions whatsoever. So that's why Putin is very disappointed. Remember, on the 21st of March this year, Lavrov was given another honor, the Order of St. Andrew the Apostle, the first called. And that is the supreme honor bestowed by the Russian Federation on civilians. And there was an order for it signed by Putin saying it was given in view of his outstanding services to the motherland, the significant contribution to the development and implementation of foreign policy course of the Russian Federation, and many years of fruitful public service, and so forth. Okay, so Putin doesn't want to end this war. He thinks he's winning going forward, and all right, they've gained something like in the they've gone forward about 16 square kilometers, 16 kilometers, not square kilometers, in a year around Pokrovsk. Okay, about to take it, but the sanctions have closed in on Russia, and it's Lavrov's job to prevent this. Thinking that could we sweet talk Putin? Sorry, could we sweet talk Trump to stop this? Can we have less pressure from the United States? These secondary sanctions are having a dissuasive effect on China, India, and others. They're purchasing less Russian oil and gas. And by the way, if Maduro is overthrown in Venezuela, if Venezuela has got the biggest oil reserves in the world and they're pumping out almost nothing, if that comes back onto the market, it'll depress the world price, and that's really going to hurt Russia. So he's not managed to keep Trump on side. He's not managed to convince Trump to cut off arms shipments or intelligence sharing with the Ukrainians. But that's really Putin's fault because Trump has given Putin chance after chance after chance. Now, Trump is a moron, but maybe even he realizes being played for a fool at this point. Trump was going to end this war in 24 hours. Remember that boast? How many months are we in now? Almost 10 months since Trump's inauguration. There's no sign of it ending. So Russia's going forward at a glacial pace, very high casualties. They say something like 1,000 casualties a day if you take it to the whole front line. Now, not all of that's Pokrovsk, maybe three quarters of that Pokrovsk. Okay, we can't hold Lavrov responsible for the military situation, but he's not succeeding in his brief. And Lavrov has been asking for several years to be allowed to retire, and he's not allowing him to retire. Now, There's other things. I mean, Lavrov has a mistress. I think has a child with her. It all came out in the wash, and she was sometimes seen in photos with him, as an official for whatever of the foreign ministry. I found out where their flat was, their little love nest. Now Putin doesn't mind that. He's had mistresses and possibly love children himself. Well, he's married to ice skater, and he had two sons with her. One of them was born in Switzerland. They went on holiday to Sardinia about 2013. He's very friendly with the late Prime Minister of Italy, Silvio Berlusconi. Putin doesn't mind the adultery, but he does mind the getting caught. Lavrov's caught. Another thing, Lavrov smokes, which Putin disapproves of as well. He's all into healthy living. But in war, obviously, in a way, diplomacy is less relevant than before. And Putin doesn't want to negotiate an end to the word like capitulation, despite the military situation not being so in favor of Russia. But Putin still thinks that Ukraine will run out of resources before Russia will, and the West just doesn't have the staying power, is not willing to pay the price. And there were some green shoots from Putin, but so far it's not really looking good. The West isn't really abandoning Ukraine. It might happen later on, but can Russia wait that wrong? So Lavrov trying to mobilize the global South and not being very effective at that. And just before the war began, Lavrov was denying that Ukraine was being threatened by Russia, even though Russia saying we'll take military technical measures. That's called war, the massive military buildup on Ukraine's border, saying that's no threat to anyone when it was. So bare-faced lying. When Russia invaded Crimea in 2014, Lavrov was lying and lying and lying about this before Russia boasts, yes, it was us. Russia's terrorism all around the world, the murders in London, the fires in London and so forth and in other places, and then the drone espionage over various countries or interfering with the global positioning systems of planes over Poland, the Gulf of Finland, loads and loads of crimes Russia's committed. And no matter how irrefragable the proof, he'll lie and lie and lie. Right before the war began, when they're having this public meeting in the Kremlin, and Lavrov was subtly warning that there would be diplomatic peace pushback. He knows it wasn't going to play well. And that's why Russia had a huge diplomatic defeat in the United Nations, something like 100 countries voting against it in this UN resolution, a resolution condemning Russia's illegal invasion of Ukraine. Only 5 countries voting Russia's way, like Belarus, North Korea, I can't remember, was it Nicaragua, Eritrea, and I can't remember who the last one was. Some abstentions, and some countries didn't even abstain. The ambassador told not to be in the room, places like Turkmenistan. Even the so-called ally, China, simply abstained, didn't actually vote for Russia's position. And this has gone on and on. So Lavrov, he knew it would be a diplomatic disaster. Hundreds of Russian diplomats expelled from Western countries. It's more difficult to spy. Russia doesn't have that much money. It doesn't have that much economic leverage to offer people trade or, frankly, bribes. So what's there to play with? Soft power, this attempt at an answer to Eurovision, a few countries participating, no great shakes. As for the Olympics, they're not very good Olympics anyway, but they're not being thrown out of many Olympic sports. They have been more successful at not being thrown out of things. So he's unhappy that Lavrov has not succeeded. But, you know, Putin's given him an impossible mission because you've got to give some concessions to the other side. You've got to have a ceasefire. They're not even pretending to have a ceasefire. They've had their false ceasefires beforehand. They've not been able to exploit tensions over Gaza to their advantage. Remember, they had actually a cooperative relationship with Israel before. Putin even called Israel a Russian-speaking country because it's had up to 20% of people came from the former Soviet Union over the last 50 years or so. So Lavrov, I think they'll probably simply say he's ill. That's the way they usually do. And I can't remember that. Who was that bald general? Was it Suravikin, that one who was arrested after the Prigozhin coup? And then he was resting. They released a photo of him weeks later. So, I mean, if Putin want to sack him, he just sack him. But I think he probably will eventually. But he's pretending the guy's ill for a while because he's incurred the Tsar's displeasure. So, that's it. Goodness. So, yeah, his daughter spent so long in the United States. They say, Yekaterina, she doesn't speak Russian that well because she speaks English so much. Okay, right. So thank you so much for watching my video. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, then PayPal, georgecarlin7@gmail.com. Goodbye.